Welcome, Arlita.
Good morning. As John mentioned, my name's Arlita. So it's if you forget it, just think of we're from Boston. So, Arlita, or our leader, as the Bostonians sometimes get confused. Arlita. It was very confusing when I was a youth leader up there. They didn't know my name because I was their leader. The pastor who officiated our wedding, we had to make sure he really knew how to say my name. Otherwise, John was marrying our leader. So as John mentioned, from now and to the end of November, we're going to be in a sermon series called Hearing God's Voice. And it's based around the Romans 12:2 verse. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Another translation I liked says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This morning, I'm going to spend some time discussing how we hear God's voice when making decisions. Now, I do not have a special secret sauce for making decisions. I actually, if you know anything about the Enneagram, which is like the new Myers-Briggs of the world, I'm a 9 on the Enneagram, which means I'm a peacemaker, and I can see every single angle of every single situation. And so making a decision for me is super challenging because that makes sense, or that could be right, or it's really challenging. But every day, all of us make decisions. Some of us make big decisions every day, and some of us make small decisions every day, and a mixture in between. Whether you're 5 or 95, you make decisions. Some of them are kind of enforced on you. Some of them are your own free will. Some of you got to choose if you were coming to church today. Some of you didn't. But there's the quick no-brainer ones, like what brand of milk should I buy? Should I have Frosted Flakes or Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Those are quick decisions for some of us. Should I check Instagram now or later? These decisions are no-brainers. They're quick decisions, and we don't even realize that they're decisions. They just happen so automatically that we don't even think to ask, where's God in this? Does he want me to check Instagram right now? I mean, I'm sure he cares, but it's not something we think to look to him for his involvement in our lives. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of these small decisions can actually be really daunting and overwhelming. Actually, I think I have a harder time with small decisions than big ones. Like, what do you want for dinner tonight? I don't know. Everything sounds good. Or I don't want to cook anything, but I want it to just magically appear. Yeah. But it's the big ones. The really big, hairy, audacious, like the fork in the road decisions that sometimes really trip us up. It's when we're choosing between multiple really good options. It's not like we're choosing between should I rob a bank or go to work. It's like should I pick this job or this job? How do we make those decisions? Either option seems like a viable option. So I think that in these situations, and in all situations, that God is really interested in helping us, direct us in making these decisions. And so sometimes we get concerned, though, like we want to please God, or we're really concerned about living in God's will. And so we kind of get frozen in making these decisions. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that and some steps to take to help us hear God's voice when making decisions. Because how do we hear him when there's really big, important decisions, and they really can change the trajectory of our lives? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time together. I pray that you use what I have prepared for this morning to lead, renew, and transform us by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So before we get into the scriptures, or I've already read a couple, but deeper into the scriptures, I'd like to share with you briefly about an organization or a group of people I've been learning about recently. because as I've mentioned, decision-making for me is quite challenging. And this group of people has kind of developed like a pattern or system that they at least feel like is helpful in decision-making. And it's called the Society of Jesus, or better known as the Jesuits. They are a worldwide missionary order as part of the Catholic Church that was founded by St. Ignatius of Loyola. Among other things, the Jesuits began universities all over the world, like Loyola University, in the hopes that they might be able to teach people how to make better decisions through education. In the book, What's Your Decision?, which I have here, it's really underlined a lot, the authors go into more detail about the processes and the steps and different things that they learned in discernment and decision making. And I don't have time to just go unpack this whole book, but if you're interested, I can give you more information after the service. But they do a really good job of kind of highlighting or like narrowing down some like a really simple truth. When we love God first, we have made the one necessary decision that puts the rest of our decisions in order. Let me say that again. When we love God first, we have made the one necessary decision that puts the rest of our decisions in order. If you look up discernment on like Google and look for the dictionary definition, discernment or decision making means the ability to judge well. And so we're kind of talking about, we're judging between two good things or multiple options if you have more than two options. So that's kind of what we're talking about this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never really thought closely about your decisions and how God might fit into that. Please know that the best, first, most important decision is to love God first. All remaining decisions get ordered through this one. As I have reflected recently over how I make decisions, I have come to see this truth in my life, or like to see how this is fleshed out in my life. Because I've taken the time to order my life and put the first thing first, to love God first, I have found some helpful ways to hear his voice in my decision making. Where this has been most relevant to me recently was in our recent decision, our very difficult decision, to decide to return to homeschooling our children. So the first way, when we were faced with this decision, that we decided to listen for God's voice was to look to the scripture. We hear God's voice when making decisions through his word. A verse that I changed last minute, but I felt like the Lord kept bringing me back to it this week, is in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17. God has breathed life into all scripture. It is useful for teaching us what is true. It is useful for correcting our mistakes. It is useful for making our lives whole again. It is useful for training us to do what is right. By using scripture, the servant of God can be completely prepared to do every good thing. I read that last line this morning again, and I was like, that's just the sermon. We're done. This was the Bible memory verse in the elementary kids class this summer, and I was reminded this morning of that. I was like, no wonder why this verse keeps coming to mind, because the kids learned that for about 12 weeks this summer. But I really like the progression of these verses. If we want to hear God's voice, it's right there in the scriptures. He breathed life into them. Or I might reword it this way. He, God, made plain words come alive. I'll say that again. He, God, made plain words come alive. Now that we know the words are alive and God is speaking to us through them, they can be used to teach us truth, correct mistakes. And that second one I really like because it doesn't say we'll never have mistakes. It just corrects us. And being a perfectionist as I am, I never like to make mistakes. But that's not what God's saying here through this scripture. He's saying that we make mistakes, but we can learn from them. We shouldn't feel shame or condemnation when we make mistakes, that they're there to be learned from. And these alive words can help me learn and practice what is right. When I'm weighing decisions, multiple good options, I want to hear from God, and the fastest way I know I will hear his voice is to look to the Bible. God can speak to us in a variety of ways through the Bible. There are different ways to study it. There are different types of literature used in the Bible. certain parts that can be more beneficial at different times and in different circumstances. There's history, poetry, prophecy, wisdom, the good news testimonies of Jesus Christ himself, letters to earlier followers in the early church, and more. I have grown in my faith and trust in Jesus in many ways through studying the Bible. As we faced this big decision recently, we felt like God was asking, that God was asking of us. It was easy to feel unsure. We aren't opposed to more traditional models of education. We were feeling like we had to choose between two good things. But he was asking us again in this season, would you consider, why are you bringing them back there? Why are you sending them back there? And we were like, ah! So we went to the scriptures. And as we read different scriptures here and there, different things came to mind. It would be easy to not look at the Bible and to fall back into the pattern of this world. This is what's expected of us. Why would we do anything different? Not sending your kid to school is scary. I did well in school, but I don't know everything. As we read over different verses, we remembered our first thing: love God first. Once we thought about that, our decision became more clear and less scary. God's love for us and our children would help us make the best decision for us and our family at this time. How has God used the Bible to reveal himself to you when you are making decisions? Maybe you're here this morning and needing to make some hard decisions, and you never thought about looking at the Bible or how it might even be relevant today. It was written so long ago. I would encourage you to download the YouVersion Bible app. There's a couple of other ones that are really good. I can't remember the name of it, but there's videos attached to it. Read scripture. Thanks, Gabri. Or you can join one of our church's small groups where you can go through the Bible with other people in the church. I think the Lord still speaks through his word and wants to reveal himself to you through the Bible. Another way we hear God when making decisions is through his people. We hear God's voice when making decisions through others. Proverbs 11:14 says, without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in having many advisors. Now, don't worry, I'm not getting political here at all. But there is safety in having many advisors. There is safety in having wise leadership around us, going to people when we need to make a big decision and asking for their input. God can use anybody to bring advice, wisdom, and leadership into situations. We did seek out the wisdom of others, especially followers of Jesus, because we had the great hope that they would guide us and give us advice that were not based on the patterns of this world, but they would look to Jesus in helping us make this decision. This can be tricky because oftentimes there are so many voices. It's really hard to sift through all of that and find the best one. God has used many people, young and old, in our lives, and there's countless stories that he has moved and helped us make decisions through people, young and old, including our daughter, Gabriella. If you haven't heard the story yet of how we started the journey towards church planting, John will share the story in great detail and lots of excitement if you come to lunch with Mission Vineyard on November 3rd at our house. It's really a moving story, and it's one that I think I've told a couple of times, but some of you may not have heard it. But God speaks through young people and old people, people who aren't following Jesus and people who are, to help shape us and guide us and help us make better decisions. Discernment, good judging, is a team sport. We need others to help us hear God when making hard decisions. We also get to be this for other people. Oh, probably about 6 months or so ago, I had a dream about another pastor friend I have in the vineyard. That I never have dreams about anything normal. It's always random. They're never ones, that was from the Lord. But this one, I woke up and I really had the sense that the Lord gave me this dream. And I don't really remember a lot of the details of the dream, other than that this pastor was faced with a difficult decision with somebody in their life. That was all I really had. So I first went to John with this dream. Does this sound like it's from the Lord? And so, because the idea of sharing dreams or anything like that with other people, you want to tear them, you don't want to tear them down, you want to build them up. So I want to make sure that the dream wasn't doomsday, but more an encouragement. And then I had to decide if I was even going to share this dream with this friend. What if he thinks I'm nuts? What if he never speaks to me again? What if the next time I see him, he's like, that girl is crazy? But then I remembered that I love God first, and I put that in right order, and then the decision after that was easy, because he will meet me there. And so I emailed my friend, and a day went by, he didn't email me back, and another day, I was like, oh no. The enemy started to creep in my thoughts and made me doubt my decision. But sure enough, a couple of days later, I heard back from my friend, and he said, wow, that's amazing. Like, I actually had the situation come from my church, and your dream happened before the situation. And then I was not as afraid when the situation happened in his church. Third, we hear God's voice when making decision through his own voice. Yeah. John 10, 27 through 29 says this, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. These two verses demonstrate to me how much God loves us. Like, I can't even put into words how much he loves us. Like, these verses just, I just feel like they speak so clearly, but first I feel like you need to know a little bit about sheep. Sheep can see, like, 300 so degrees. They can't really see behind their head. But they have horrible depth perception. So they make up for this in having excellent hearing. So sheep need to know their shepherd's voice. And this is how God cares for us. He speaks to us through his Bible, through his people, through himself, but we need to know his voice in order to be able to hear him. If I were to reword this verse myself, I feel like it says, or I would kind of put it myself in the verse, I hear his voice and he knows me. I follow him and he gives me everything. When it came down to making this final decision about our kids' schooling, we ultimately had to simply listen to what we felt like the Lord was asking us to do. It was about trusting and surrendering, even if it felt hard and not normal. We could hear God asking us, why are you sending them back there again? Some of you may be wondering how I knew it was God's voice, and it was as simple as this. Because of the fruit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit produces love, joy, and peace. It is being patient, kind, and good. It is being faithful and gentle and having control of oneself. When I heard this voice guiding us in this direction, I felt those things. And I saw that fruit in my kids too when we shared with them our decision. Some of this will be covered more in the weeks to come about how we hear God's voice. And maybe you're here this morning and you have never heard God speak directly to you, but you really would like him to reveal himself to you in this way. Or maybe you're here this morning and it's been so long since you heard God's voice, you aren't sure what it even sounds like anymore. Or you're here and you're so gung-ho and you just can't get enough of this. We'll have prayer teams over here in the morning. This morning to meet you where you're at, where God wants to meet you where you're at, and people will pray with you. All these steps I've mentioned are good and fine, but there is still something we have to do to get to this place, to get here. As I mentioned earlier, if you remember anything from today, please remember, love God first. That is the one essential decision for the other decisions to fall into order. So often we get concerned about making the right decision. What is God's will for my life? As if there is only one and exact path to this. When we truly believe that God loves us more than we ever think or imagine, we can believe that when he puts multiple good options before us, any of them will be the right one. Just think about that again. When we're given two good options and we've done everything we can to make the best choice, either of them can be the best option, the right option. If we still aren't sure, God will still meet us there. If we do the best we can to make wise decisions, God honors our choice because we try to honor him in making them. There's a New Testament scholar named N.T. Wright who has written lots of books. I got tired counting. He's a New Testament scholar from England, and he's written a series of books called the For Everyone series. And he's taken just about every book of the New Testament and written like a Cliff's Notes version of the Bible. And he does like his own translation and then kind of writes his own interpretation, sometimes uses story, but he puts it into like human terms, not theologian terms. In his book, Paul for Everyone, the second one, because Romans is so long, he translates Romans 12:2 this way. What's more, don't let yourselves be squeezed into the shape dictated by this present age. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can work out what God's will is, what is good, acceptable, and complete. The hard part about making decisions and trying to hear God's voice in that is that we often do not want to be transformed. We sort of like fitting into this world. It's easy, comfortable, familiar. We can hear these ways of decision-making through his word, through his people, through his spirit, through his voice. If we have faith that God will be who he says he will be, like we can do these things, but it's still really hard. When we live by the patterns of this world, we aren't living by faith. We are trusting our own limitations, our own desires to make God's will happen. Or we're trying to fit God into our box. We are trying to live with our foot in both realities, which makes decision-making even more difficult. When God transforms the way we think, when we choose the one essential, love God first, his will is revealed, and it is good, acceptable, and complete. When we are making decisions in his grace, he is big enough to handle it. If we have done all that we can to trust God with the decisions we are faced with, he will provide. These decisions, both big and small, can have eternal impacts that we cannot know or even imagine. Even the really hard decisions where we are afraid of what might be asked of us. We do not know how long God will ask us to be countercultural right now with our children not being in formal education. But we will remain open to what he has for us, expecting him to meet us with each decision we are faced with. Making decisions is hard, and it doesn't mean just because we invited God into it that it'll be like a straight shot. We kind of have a very Western linear thought process on making decisions. If I choose A, B will happen. But sometimes we go like to number two before we get to B. It doesn't mean God is not there in the midst of it. It doesn't mean that every time we hit a hiccup or a bump in the road that we chose wrong. In your story, what is God inviting you into today? Maybe you are brand new to faith and it never occurred to you to invite God into your decision making. You may wonder why it even matters. I think it's because he loves us all and cares for us deeply. Or you may have turned away from faith and have recently welcomed Jesus back into your life and your need of God's redemption for the decisions you made in your own power, possibly ignoring times where God was prompting you one way or the other. And you chose the other. I think God has something for you this morning. Others of us, like myself included, are so hesitant to invite God into our decision making because we are afraid of what he might ask of us. We are comfortable and life is easy. We don't want to rock the boat. I think God may be asking you, me, to trust and surrender. This sentence from What's Your Decision really struck me. If we love God first, God will point us in a direction that is consistent with our deepest desires. I'll say that again. If we love God first, God will point us in a direction that is consistent with our deepest desires. And I believe ultimately our deepest desires are his love. That doesn't mean, like I said earlier, it won't be easy or that it'll even be a straight path or that there won't be hiccups along the way. But if every good and perfect gift is from God, that is a promise we can rely on. Some of you here may be in a season of really being excited about all that God is inviting you into, and you're ready, simply ready for more. And I say, yes, let's go together and do this together. Maybe joining a Bible study or starting one on your own is the great next step for you. But maybe you've known that something's been wrong. You aren't quite sure what to do with it. Maybe you haven't had a faith that's been big enough to handle these kinds of places in your life. At Mission Vineyard, we want to welcome Jesus into all of life. Every nook and cranny, we think he cares about all of it, even the ones about choosing Frosted Flakes in the morning. If that's you, would you stand up right now and come to the front over here? I'd love to pray with you. If you are here this morning and you have any other physical, emotional, or spiritual need, there'll be prayer teams in the corner over here. John, would you come up?
Could you say again?
Yes. If you have never decided to put your faith in Jesus and trust him with your decision-making, I want to pray with those people over in this corner.
So do that right now, if you would. Just take a risk. This is you. This is you knowing that your faith is just, it just hasn't been able to handle the decisions that God's asked you to make. Just, would you be bold this morning and stand up? And right now, this is the time, and our lead is going to meet you right here. There are other emotional, physical, spiritual needs that you have. I'm going to ask the prayer teams to begin to scoot over here and be ready to receive people as well. Before the service, there was a prayer team that was praying for you, and they had specific words this morning. We take a risk, and sometimes they sound funny, but we write them down in faith that they might just be meeting you where you're at. He wants you to join him in what he's doing. If you feel like you're caught in a net, maybe you've been having some dizziness, car trouble, maybe engine trouble. If you would, if you want to respond to these words, please come to a prayer team. If you want to respond to this word about having a faith that can handle decision-making, please take the risk and get prayer this morning. For the rest of you, would you stand with me to receive a blessing? And would you receive this blessing? I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that you would go out welcoming Jesus into your decision-making, trusting him that because you love him, that he's going to take care of you. He loves you so much. God loves you so much. He loves you so much. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please come see our prayer team. Please get prayer from our Arlita. Have a great week.